Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning, a busy Thursday morning at that, May 19, 2022. Of course, lately with all the breaking news and all the stories in the pro-life movement and everything that's going on, when is it not busy? That's the big question, I guess. But so glad you're here as we sort through so much and keep you connected to the faith and beyond, hence the name of the program, Catholic Connection. We have a jam-packed show for you today. I do think you're going to walk away having a lot of, hopefully, helpful information. That's what we try to do. We are going to be chatting with, we're going to be talking actually with Tim Graham from the Media Research Center. I don't know if you heard the story that broke yesterday about the disinformation board that was instituted by the Biden administration just a few weeks ago. And that was in direct response to Elon Musk saying that he was going to buy Twitter. Now, that purchase is still pending, but the left had a total meltdown because they realized that Elon Musk, even though he doesn't identify as a conservative, although yesterday he did say he's going to vote GOP and no longer vote for the Democratic Party, that's a whole other story, but because he actually has some common sense statements about the situation with social media and is pretty blunt about the way things are going and the hate that's out there on social media, well, the left doesn't like him at all. And so they just went nuts when they learned that he was going to be taking over Twitter as the owner. And so this disinformation board came up because they needed to keep in touch with what was happening to make sure people know what was really going on in terms of information on social media. In other words, they can't control Elon Musk, so they have to try to control us somehow. So this board was developed, and within 3 weeks, it has now been disbanded because even folks such as Jeff Bezos are criticizing it. Bezos, by the way, owns the Washington Post. I mean, this is such a fascinating story in terms of people realizing, at least some people at some levels, realizing what's going on with certain aspects of this administration and having to do something about it. It's frightening. Frightening to think that this would be actually happening. I guess not surprising given everything else, but it just is Orwellian. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's just shocking. And so, of course, now the report in the Washington Post is that it's all our fault. It's all the conservatives who attacked this woman who was running this disinformation board. And she resigned because she was so just upset and threatened by the criticism. Okay, yeah, it's all our fault. There you go. Instead of looking at yourself and how ridiculous and how horrific this was in terms of free speech, let's blame everybody else. We're not the problem, you are. Anyway, we'll talk about that with Tim Graham and take a look also at what else is going on with the media. So much to discuss, as I said. And then at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to be joining us. Always a joy. And I know we tease each other a lot, but I have a lot of respect for his work. Don't tell him I said this, because if he's listening right now, he's never going to let me live this down. And I do love talking with him because he's funny, he's upbeat, and he's so practical. And he's also going to be one of our keynotes again on the Good News Cruise coming up in January. He's a lot of fun. If you're looking for Ray on the cruise, just go up to the buffet at the top deck of the ship. That's where you'll find him with a little, you know, what do you call it, a feed bag strapped around his neck, and he's roaming around the buffet, and he'll move from one table to the next, and that's where you'll find him after he gives his talks, maybe before. Anyhow, he joins us at the bottom of the hour. He's going to be joining us again in the next few weeks. They're going to dive into a really cool new book that he just published, and it's all about living in a beautiful, calm way. The title of the book is Living Calm. It's published by our friends at EWTN, and he'll be joining. He'll mention it this morning, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a sneak peek of what we'll be discussing in the next couple of weeks, because we're going to sit down with him, pin him down for more than just 9 minutes as we have him today, and to talk about this beautiful book and why he decided to publish this particular book about living in a very calm way with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yet that's not all, as it used to say in the Ginsu knife commercial. Wait, there's more. I'm going to be wrapping up a Thursday morning with a spokesperson from the wonderful Sacred Heart Major Seminary right here in Detroit. They have some new classes online pertaining to evangelization and theology. So now you can benefit from the incredible leaders and teachers and professors at Sacred Heart major university, or excuse me, major seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. John Lajeunesse will be joining us. So as I said, it's a busy Thursday, and we'll get started right after I give you the weather, because we want you to have all the information you need to make your day beautiful and successful. Scattered severe thunderstorms, a lot of rain in parts of the country Thursday afternoon into this evening across portions of the upper Midwest and from the mid-Mississippi Valley into the Carolinas. Early season heat with likely record high temperatures. Now, we're going to be getting record high temps here in Michigan, going up to like 90 today, 87 degrees, which is the opposite of what we had yesterday. We were in the 50s yesterday. Persisting across the southern tier of the U.S., extending into the Ohio Valley, mid-Atlantic, and northeast on Friday and Saturday. So the big concern is that there's some heavy rains coming in, so keep that in mind, and saying that it could start today, and then, as you just heard, moving into the weekend. So, well, May showers. I know it's April showers bring May flowers, but apparently we have some May showers to deal with as well. So let's get started with the news, a lot of it. It's 6 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. U.S. government bracing for a potential surge in political violence once the Supreme Court hands down the ruling that is expected to overturn Roe v. Wade. This according to a Department of Homeland Security memo obtained by Axios. Law enforcement agencies are investigating social media threats to burn down or storm the Supreme Court building and murder justices and their clerks, as well as targeting places of worship. The unclassified May 13th memo, and we'll be talking about this morning, as I mentioned, with the Media Research Center, by DHS's intelligence arm, says threats that follow the leak of a draft opinion targeting Supreme Court justices, lawmakers, and other public officials, as well as clergy, are likely to persist and may increase leading up to and following the issuing of the court's official ruling. A new study showing that nearly 1 in 4 Gen Z adults believe Jesus was a man who sinned like everyone else. American Bible Society's State of the Bible 2022 also showing 38% of people between the ages of 18 to 25 say Jesus was just a human, not the Son of God, and was a sinner. Polling also found similar numbers of Gen X millennials and baby boomers who don't believe the biblical claim and, of course, the truth of who Jesus is, of a sinless Christ. Lower numbers of Americans aged 77 and older also believe Jesus was a sinner. Pope Francis meeting with men and women inspired by the charism of St. Charles de Foucauld, and as Devin Watkins reports, praising the new saint's focus on the love of Christ for all people.
Just 3 days after declaring Charles de Foucauld a saint, Pope Francis met with a delegation of the many women and men inspired by the French missionary's life and charism. Speaking to the Association of the Spiritual Family of Charles de Foucauld on Wednesday, the Pope called him a prophet for our times who knew how to highlight the essence and universality of the faith. He said St. Charles de Foucauld boiled the meaning of faith down into two words, Jesus, love. The saint discovered that truth by returning to Jesus' hidden life at Nazareth after he lived in Jesus' hometown for a year.
Auguro anche a voi, come fratello Carlo, di continuare a immaginare Gesù che cammina in mezzo alla gente.
I encourage you, like Brother Charles, said the Pope, to continue to envision Jesus walking in the midst of people, patiently carrying out a difficult job and living day to day in a family and a city. Pope Francis said the French missionary discovered the essence of the faith, which he wrote was that God gives primacy of place to love and then to sacrifice inspired by love and obedience derived from love. St. Charles de Foucauld, added the Pope, also focused on the universality of faith, living Christianity as a brother to all, especially during his 15 years living in the Sahara Desert of Algeria.
And speaking of saints, St. Pio of Precolacina, never visiting the U.S. during his time on earth, but now, as Catholic News Agency reports, his relics, which include multiple elements from his body, will actually be visiting D.C. this weekend as they are displayed for veneration at the nation's largest Catholic church. The relics visiting the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception this weekend, May 21st and 22nd. On Saturday, the relics available for veneration from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Great Upper Church. The Archbishop of D.C., Cardinal Gregory, celebrating Mass in honor of Padre Pio at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon as well. The relics will then also be on display Sunday from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. You'll find more information on the website catholicnewsagency.com. Check out the full story. The U.S. has an ambassador to Ukraine for the first time since 2019. The Senate unanimously confirming Bridget Brink without a formal roll call Wednesday, as Brink was being confirmed in D.C., the U.S. reopening the American embassy in Kyiv, with diplomats returning to the Ukrainian capital on a permanent basis. And the Biden administration, we'll be talking about this coming up in the program this morning, has paused its controversial plans to create a disinformation board, causing its would-be leader to resign. In a statement yesterday, Nina Jankowicz, who was chosen to head the board's quote-unquote work, issuing a resignation letter claiming she decided to leave the Department of Homeland Security to return to her work in the public sphere. Her departure, the decision to scrap the board, was first reported by the Washington Post. The board has been the subject of weeks of backlash from not just Republicans, but libertarians and even liberals, who likened the scheme to the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's classic novel, 1984. And this sounds like something that would be on the satirical Christian news website, very popular site, the Babylon Bee, but it actually happened in Congress yesterday. A Democrat witness testifying before the House Judiciary Committee on abortion rights, making an unbelievably shocking, well, I guess it's not shocking to us, shocking statement about men, women, and pregnancy. Take a listen.
What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
The woman making that statement, answering those questions, Amy Arambide, she's the executive director of an abortion facility in Texas. She was questioned by Representative Dan Bishop from North Carolina. And again, this was during a committee meeting, a judiciary committee meeting on abortion rights that took place yesterday. The U.S. baby formula shortage is turning into a health crisis for some, as Chris Pallone explains.
It's leading to hospitalizations. Two Tennessee children with special dietary needs had to be admitted after their parents couldn't find the right formula.
The shortage began when the pandemic disrupted the supply chain and got worse with a recall and Michigan plant closure earlier this year. And more than 40% of baby formula is out of stock. One person is dead, another in critical condition after another shooting, this time on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. Sergeant Dan Goodwin with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office saying it happened last night following a high school graduation, although there's no word yet on whether the victims were involved in that ceremony.
Murfreesboro Police Department and MTSU police responded to a shooting on campus and found two people suffering from gunshots near the tennis courts next to Murphy Center.
The suspect is still at large. Meanwhile, the man suspected of shooting one person, killing him and wounding five others at a Taiwanese church in Orange County, reportedly told an acquaintance he might die in a big event, and his realtor says he had a major disdain for Taiwan before Sunday's shooting.
He doesn't like the Taiwan's current situation, trying to depart from China and trying to betray the Chinese, betray China politics and cultures.
Another person telling a local TV station in California, the suspect recently said he wanted to make a big event, and during that event, again, he would die or others would die with him because the world is unfair to him. And first responders responding to the Oxford High School shooting last November in Michigan are being honored by the Oakland County Sheriff, Michael Bouchard.
I know our people have been very affected by that, but I have to constantly remind them because they did that, they arrested the shooter.
He recognized them during his office's National Peace Officers Day annual award ceremony yesterday, nearly 6 months after four were killed and seven wounded at that high school north of Detroit. Pennsylvania election officials say if vote totals stay as close as they are between U.S. Senate candidates Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick, a recount would be required by state law. Reporter Steve Kornacki says that's more than likely the path they're heading down.
The recount seems all but certain at this point because, again, the state law is 0.5%.
Throughout Wednesday, Trump backing Dr. Oz's lead over Business and McCormick, fluctuating between 1,000 and 2,000 votes. That's a razor-thin lead, and well within that margin, Secretary of State Lee Champman would have to order such action if it becomes necessary for this race. The count would be scheduled to begin on Wednesday, July or June 1st. And as we wrap up our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour, Trey Thomas tells us, oh, here's a shocker, gas prices higher than ever for the ninth day in a row.
AAA reports the national average price for regular is up another 2 cents to $4.58 a gallon. Kansas again has the lowest statewide average at $4.04 a gallon. And the misery just keeps getting worse for drivers in California, where the statewide average is now up to $6.06 a gallon.
15 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a good Thursday morning. When we come back, taking a look at this disinformation board and why it was suddenly put on pause. Was it really? Or are they going to go through the back door instead of just keeping it out there as a particular area or board of the Department of Homeland Security? We'll get the opinion from someone who knows a lot about this and, of course, about the culture. We'll be talking with our friends at the Media Research Center, more specifically, Tim Graham. We'll be right back.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Curo have partnered with one of the country's leading health care ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered health care. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. It is May 19th. Always enjoy speaking with Tim Graham. He's the executive director, or executive editor, excuse me, of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Tim, I don't know, there's never a dull moment. And unfortunately, or I'm glad you guys are still employed, but I know you would love it if you could actually be out of a job, because then it would mean that things would have greatly improved. So now we have the story breaking yesterday, and it's all our fault. Anyone who is even slightly right of center or concerned about free speech, it's our fault. They didn't do anything wrong in coming up with this disinformation governance board. But according to the Washington Post, which first reported this, and it was a whiny article that blamed conservatives and others who were criticizing this woman heading up this disinformation governance board, now they're disbanding it apparently, or putting it on pause, and Jankowicz has resigned, as far as we know. So are you buying that they're done with this? Because maybe it's a cynical news person in me, but I'm thinking they're still going to do it. They're just not going to have an official committee or board doing this. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say to you, I don't think it will never be out of a job if we're looking at, you know, I try to tell people who support us, you know, we don't expect the liberal media will end. That's right. Too ambitious. So, we're here to basically expose it. I think that they've been doing this all along, haven't they? I mean, this whole story reeks of the kind of disinformation that federal officials do with reporters. And the mistake they made here, I think, was to make it formal. We're going to have a disinformation board. And I think the idea that they said it was paused means, yeah, there's a real constituency among Democrats to have something official that says we have to fight this. This is a real problem. You know, And I think the problem with this, and certainly the problem with Nina Jankowicz, was the whole idea was, well, disinformation and conservative is the same thing.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, what did we do? We exposed that Nina Jankowicz thought the Hunter Biden laptop was all disinformation. I mean, and so it's that same impulse to say journalism is only the topics we like. If it's a topic we don't like, we call it disinformation, so we don't have to actually look at the contents of the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how odd is it, Teresa, that we're like 2 years later and the Washington Post and the New York Times said, well, we actually spent a minute and verified that this was real. Well, why didn't you do that in October of 2020?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did a classic thing instead, which was to say, consider the source. Well, this is coming from Giuliani, so it must be nuts. And they were also invested in defeating Trump. This is media bias. This is
right.
The whole problem. It's like we can't take an actual story or an allegation and investigate it. We're actually going to say that allegation is not worth investigating. We're going to call it unproven because we've made no attempt to prove it or disprove it.
And even in the report, as I mentioned earlier in introducing you, Tim, it was all the conservatives or anybody who spoke out against this disinformation board. It was all their fault for expressing opinion and concern about it. That's why she was just so, I guess, so appalled and so overwhelmed and so emotionally distraught that she had to step down.
Yeah, well, what's funny is if you follow Taylor Lorenz on Twitter, she writes this whole story that basically the right wingers took the disinformation.
Yeah, she's the Washington Post reporter who did the story, just in case people don't know who she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then she went on Twitter and somebody said, two things can be true, that it can be a bad faith right wing effort and a complete fiasco on the part of DHS. And she responded to that on Twitter and said, yeah, it was terrible. You know, all my sources were telling me it was a fiasco. It's not exactly what the story said. The story was much more polite. Like, they had trouble messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is that, yes, the government should not be in the business of determining what is misinformation. And frankly, as voters, what we would like is we would like the government, regardless of which party it is, to provide information and transparency. And that should be the media's role, is to seek information and to hold people accountable. And the problem we have with our news media today is they hold people accountable that they oppose, and they hold them accountable in a very nasty way. And when they're your friends, they basically read your press releases out and pretend it's news.
Mm-hmm. And if you saw the press briefing yesterday at the White House, a new press secretary was having a real problem. She was stumbling when she was when the question was posed to her by a couple of reporters, and she was kind of bebopping around and saying, "Well, the work will continue." So to me, that sent up red flags all over the place. They're just disbanding this title. What they're doing in terms of being involved in how they're trying to censor people and go after them, that's going to continue. That's the message I received. If I were there as a reporter, that's what I would have gotten from that press conference.
Well, Karine Jean-Pierre, she's new, and it looks like it. And I think that, yes, that is a very mixed message to say we're going to pause this and the work will continue. Is that consistent messaging?
Right.
But, you know, look, we went through the Trump years and we had the intelligence community and the unelected bureaucracy constantly running some sort of anonymous sources in misinformation watch, governance board, working through the news media through anonymous sourcing to constantly attack the president and what the president was trying to do. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this always goes on. It's just a matter of how formal.
So how do we advise folks? This is something that you and I talk about a lot, and I do a segment every Friday on the show called Fact Check Friday, bringing these things up. But do you think people are understanding what's happening? Because most people are very busy, and I'm shocked at how many people believe still what they see and hear in the secondary media without even questioning, probably because many people don't go past the tweets or the headlines. It used to be, remember in J school, and they told us it didn't go past the first paragraph? Well, that's long gone. But are you thinking people are becoming more aware of just how skewed the information is that we're getting from the press?
Well, our first concern now is, yes, we'll say, do they read the first paragraph? Well, the first paragraph was longer than a tweet.
Right.
And, you know, people are getting their news now from, in very brief form, from social media. And what this whole struggle was about wasn't just about the Department of Homeland Security, but, yes, we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years, again, we have to try to say to people, information is important, facts are important, but facts aren't all that the news is. And so there are things that are facts, and then there are things that are just opinions. And we have fact checkers now. I mean, checking facts is good, but the problem is we have these liberal outlets that call themselves the fact checkers, and they get very upset and say, well, for example, if you get 4 Pinocchios at the Washington Post for saying Joe Biden's responsible for the baby formula shortage, basically they're saying you cannot say that. We will scrub you on social media. That is a 4 Pinocchio lie. And so it feels like to people that there are certain things you just cannot say because attacking the Democrats isn't factual.
Yeah. Tim, we're out of time. Great discussion. We'll have you back on because there's always a lot to talk about with media. Check out Media Research Center, MRC.org. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
What rituals does your family have? Family rituals aren't just nice things families do once in a while. They have to be regularly scheduled activities that everyone's expected to show up for. Family meals, family prayer time, game nights, movie nights, family days, family chore times are all examples of family rituals if they happen at regular, consistent times and everyone is expected to participate. Strong family rituals help a family become a real team. Research also shows that strong family rituals are the most important ways families communicate their faith and values to their kids. Family rituals teach us what's important to make time for, and that's why the rite of family rituals is one of the most important practices in the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Thursday morning, and Dr. Ray is going to be on with us to talk about his new book as well. But right now, we wanted to make sure that you knew that he was going to be part of the Good News Cruise in January of 2023. He's been with us since the start of this, and he's a blast. He really is really a lot of fun. And okay, that's a last compliment I'm going to give you. I'm giving you way too many compliments considering how you're always teasing me on the air. Anyhow, my friend, thanks for joining us this morning, and thanks for being willing to come on the cruise again. Good morning.
Well, I got word from the good news people.
Yeah.
Because I'm on there. It's the okay news cruise now.
Oh, okay. So it's not the good news cruise, it's the okay
not
news.
Anymore. Okay. No, it's the okay news. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But wait a minute. They said if you were on there, it's going to be the old news cruise.
Well, what about the no news cruise? Who could be representing the no news cruise? Because no news is good news, as they say.
Well, not in the news business, right, T?
Oh, don't even get me started. I just talked about that with the Media Research Center. But I will say, in all seriousness, it is delightful, these events. I mean, we had a blast this year. I did, anyway. I know you had fun, too.
It was, I never went on cruises. Never. I got to be an old man before I said, all right, I'll break down. I had such a wonderful time that I said, when are we gone again? When are we gone again? So I'm ready, T, God willing.
And did Brandy enjoy it?
she couldn't go because she wasn't vaccinated.
Wait a minute, didn't she go? No, when did she go? She was on the, oh, that's right, she wasn't on that one. Yeah, okay, I got it, right.
Pre-COVID, but I hope they ease up on that.
Yeah, it's looking like they are. Right now, it's still, they're still the same, but as we get closer, everybody is dropping, thanks be to God, the requirements, because things are looking much better. So let's talk about, in your work, as a psychologist and a therapist, why something like this, taking time out, it sounds so like departmency of redundant, redundancy department, because you say it all the time, try to make special time, date nights, do things together, but it really, really is important.
Well, Randy and I have made, by the way, T, today is our 38th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
We've had 19 happy years. So
that's pretty now, good.
Yeah, but she says she's jealous. She says, "Oh, you got 19." So, yeah. But we try to go out Tuesdays and Fridays. That's we've made that a thing for the last couple of years. I go out Tuesdays. She goes out Fridays.
Yeah, that's a joke we use. That's old. Give me something fresh here.
Oh. Sorry about that. Well, all I noticed was the first couple of days when I went on that Good News cruise, I'm thinking, how do I unwind here? I'm a guy that's got to be doing something, whether it's mowing the lawn. I'm sitting out in my front yard right now. That's why you're hearing the cars go by, because I can't figure out how to get the Bluetooth off my car, and I don't have my 8-year-old cousin around to do it, so It's just me. But about the third day, I'm thinking, this is great. And it wasn't just a Windjammer buffet either. I lived in there for about 6 hours a day, but I came back weighing 292 pounds, I think it was, something like that. But it was so much fun, and I'm really looking forward to it, God willing. And I'm hoping I don't have to, I had to bring a date last time because Randy wasn't there, and she was all upset. I said, honey, I already got the ticket, you know what I mean? So anyway, but other than that, they said, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, D. I have no idea about this. They said that if you sign up for, what is it, thegoodnewscruise.com?
Uh-huh. I'm looking at it right now, goodnewscruise.com.
It says Dr. Ray, DocTorRay in caps. That means something. I don't know what it means. What does that mean?
That you're a PhD? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
I think they said that if anybody signs up for that and they put my name on there because they signed up, I get money.
Hey, how come you get money? What about the rest of us?
I'll tell you what. That's all I know, you know? You're my lead-in act. You and Dominic get the beach balls and the frisbees gone, and then I come on the main stage.
And you come on, yeah. Well, listen, in all seriousness, if you can be serious for just a few minutes, we only have about 4 minutes left, I do really want to recommend this to people because we know we've heard from people, and the testimonies keep coming in about how much it meant to them and how much it strengthened their marriage and even in many cases saved marriages over the last couple of years we've been doing this.
Well, the talks. You know, in these days of going to the internet and listening to anybody talk about anything, there's still a certain something that is personal, and you can't get rid of it. And the talks there, some of the people they got coming in, I mean, I think they got Father Ricardo.
Father Ricardo is the pre-night talk, and then we also have, listen to this, and I actually saw Archbishop Aquila in Rome recently, and he's really excited. He came up to me and he said, I'm doing a cruise with you. We're so excited. So Archbishop Samuel Aquila, Chris Stefanik, Jeremy McClellan, who's supposed to be a hoot. He's a convert to Catholicism, but he's supposed to be an excellent comedian. He was supposed to join us on Monday. We're hoping to rebook him. Father Joseph Krupp from the Diocese of Lansing, who is amazing, and he's our MC, another funny guy. Sally and Al, of course, Stephen Janet Ray, you. And then someone I think is one of the most joyful people I know, and I'm not sure if you've met her yet, but Sister Joseph Andrew from the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. She is just delightful and so on fire for the Lord. So what a lineup, huh?
Well, we get to hang around together, too. That's the other thing. You know, we roam around that whole ship, and we bump into each other. We go get something to eat, have coffee in the morning. I work on a book I'm working on there, and you work on one of your 38,000 books that you've written. I don't know how many books you've written, but there's a bunch of them. And I'll tell you what, it's changed my mind. I was just non-cruise. Just not doing it, too much time away. But I'll tell you, it's got a lot of warmth to it, too.
What do you think you would tell couples if they're thinking, gosh, I don't know if I should do this? So you're someone who deals with all kinds of issues that people face, whether it be family, marriage, both, all the above. What would your advice be to couples listening right now thinking about doing this?
You got to figure they're not on equal mindset regarding the cruise. One's going to really, really want to go, and the other one may not, or might only feel modicum of interest, I would say to them, just here's the partner who really, really wants to go. Make this commitment to your less enthusiastic partner. Say, you will see me as easy to get along with as you've ever seen. I promise you that. I'll show you that side. That's my commitment. Mm.
What I really like is to hear from folks. I remember the first one we had right before COVID hit back in 2020. We had couples that came to us and said that, okay, because Father John Ricardo was on the cruise and he was our spiritual director, we just want to hear the talks of Father John. We're just going to go hear Father John. We love him. We think he's awesome. We listen to his podcast. So, of course, they went to hear Father John. But then they ended up going to Mass every day, going to, you know, another talk, and then another talk of another speaker. And they ended up doing every single talk as much as they could because there were some breakout sessions. And they said they were just blown away. And so they had this certain mindset that, well, we're not going to listen to everything. We don't need to hear everything. We're just going to hear Father John. And then they said they grew so much from hearing the other couple speak and the other speakers, including you, Dr. Ray Guarendi, believe it or not. All right, already out of time. Dr. Ray Guarendi, of course, host of The Doctor Is In, noted author, speaker, and psychologist. And he is going to be on the Good News Cruise with us in January of 2023. There's a cool video there you can watch as well. Father John Ricardo is our pre-night speaker in Florida before we set sail. GoodNewsCruise.com coming up in mid-January of 2023. Again, speakers include our very own Chris Stefanik from EWTN, Father Joseph Krupp serving as our overall MC, Stephen Janet Ray, Al and Sally Cresta, Sister JoJo, Sister Joseph Andrew, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and yours truly. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. It is a Thursday morning, much to discuss about evangelization. Some great programs at the amazing Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit are now available online. We'll tell you all about those as well.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
What is the meaning of the Hail Mary? There are multiple meanings, explains the Catholic Catechism. When we say Hail Mary or Rejoice Mary, we are repeating the greeting of the angel Gabriel to Mary at the Annunciation. The next phrase, full of grace, the Lord is with you, asserts that Mary is full of grace because the source of grace, the Lord, is with her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, echoes Elizabeth when she greeted her young cousin who had come to assist her during her delivery of John the Baptist. Holy Mary, Mother of God, means that because Mary gives us Jesus, her Son, the God-man, Mary is the Mother of God and our Mother. The final plea to Mary, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, acknowledges that we are sinners now, hoping that Mary can welcome us as our mother at the hour we die and lead us to her Son Jesus in paradise. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry, you're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back. Busy Thursday morning, just flying through the hour on Thursday, May 19th, and I'm very, very proud to always talk about Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. There's so many incredible people there that are well-known throughout the church. We have Mary Healy, we have Ralph Martin, we have Dr. Vestigi, We have so many amazing people. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Edward Chevarria. Let's see. Who else did I not include? I don't know. There's so many great people. And oftentimes, John Lajeunesse, who is also with the seminary, another great find that we have now at the seminary. When I'm speaking around the country, and I mentioned that I'm a Catholic in the Archdiocese of Detroit, automatically one of the questions I get is, are you familiar with Sacred Heart Major Seminary? You do have an excellent reputation. So thanks be to God for all the great work that the seminary does. Before we get into what we're going to be discussing this morning, with there's some new online programs, which are just fantastic, I did want to share with you, I was telling you a little bit about it, and this really exemplifies why we need more education. Study comes out today that nearly 40% of Gen Z adults don't believe Jesus was sinless. A new study showing that nearly 1 in 4 Gen Z adults believe Jesus was a man who sinned like everyone else. American Bible Society State of the Bible 2022 also shows 38% of people between the ages of 18 to 25 say Jesus was just a human, not the Son of God, and was a sinner. Polling also found similar numbers of Gen X millennials and baby boomers don't believe the biblical doctrine of Jesus being, of course, God, the Son of God. Lower numbers of Americans age 77 and older believe Jesus was a sinner. So it's obvious, Houston, we have a problem. Hence the reason I would imagine, John, you see this, not this particular study, but you understand there's an issue, which is why you're offering these new courses online. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa, and thank you again for the invitation to be with you.
Sure.
And yeah, I can definitely attest to, even in my 20-some years in parish work, the state of people's hearts is at a critical level. And one of the things that the most recent pastor I worked for said very profoundly was that, you know, when it comes to evangelizing, he needs a staff of 1,200, not 12, right?
And wow.
The goal of evangelization in the United States is not to just have a handful of really powerful evangelists, right? I think it's the Fellowship of Catholic University Students talks about how really the goal in evangelization is spiritual multiplication, not just, you know, having a few people who really understand the gospel and can speak it profoundly and really speak to people's hearts, but really raising up leaders, right? And those mm-hmm. leaders raising up new leaders. And that's really the mission of Sacred Heart Major Seminary. That was the founding. Obviously, our primary mission is to form priests in the heart of the new evangelization.
And deacons. And, don't forget deacons.
And deacons, absolutely.
Just saying.
And then, of course, to form collaborators and to form leaders, as that pastor said. He needs a staff of 1,200. And so one of the things that we're very excited about today is that now the most comprehensive, you know, curriculum in the new evangelization in the United States is now available to anybody in the United States.
That's awesome.
We're launching this fall three programs that will be available in a fully online format. One of the great gifts in my own formation, Teresa, was the gift of spending so much time in Sacred Heart in so many different facets of my life. And that formation that I received really changed not only my heart as a disciple, but really my ability to raise up leaders, right? To be part of not just the 12, but the 1,200. And so having the opportunity for other people to be able to have access to the Sacred Heart experience that has changed my life so much really excites me. There's three programs that we're going to be launching in this fully online format. We're going to have a Master of Arts in theology. So this is perfect for somebody who maybe has an undergraduate degree in maybe another discipline or in theology itself. But maybe, again, somebody, they've got an undergrad and bachelor's in science, and they really feel that call to be one of those leaders to really take a next step in their own parish or in their own community or in their own family. And this Master of Arts program would equip them for so many different opportunities, whether that's a paid position in parish, whether that's teaching theology, whether that's, again, just diving deeper for the sake of volunteer leadership in their own parish. We also have two other programs, a certificate in Catholic theology. This is a great starting point for anyone. It's six introductory classes in theology, really meant for someone who's just starting this journey, who is interested in theology as kind of a deeper study. They mm-hmm. want to really understand their faith at a deeper level. Or maybe this, they've begun volunteering in their parish and they want to kind of take that next step. That certificate program is easy to complete. And again, a good baseline. And then for those who have been at this a long time, those who have graduate degrees in theology, but really focused on this issue of evangelization and really want to be leaders in their parishes and their dioceses in evangelization, we have a postgraduate certificate in the new evangelization. So this is for someone who's got a master's degree in theology already, but really wants to specialize in the area of the new evangelization. So they can train the trainers, they can lead the leaders, and really be that witness to the new springtime that St. John Paul II really laid out for us. So there's a lot of new options.
Right.
The fact that anybody from here to Texas to California can take advantage of those is just exciting. If anybody is thinking about this as an option or just wants to learn more about these programs, of course, there's information on our website, shms.edu, or they can call our admissions team, myself and my admissions counselor, Alex, at 313-883-8696, or email us at admissions@shms.edu. But it is a great day, and we're so excited to share this information with all of your listening audience today.
We're talking with John Lajeunesse. He is the Director of Admissions and Enrollment Management for Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. This is really exciting, John. I'm just wondering, I've done, seminars online and conferences and Zoom calls and all of that, as we all did, especially during COVID. But how does an online course work? Are you meeting one-on-one with the professor? Are you just tapping into classes that are already taking place? Can you kind of give us an idea of what it would look like?
Yeah, we're going to be offering courses in a number of different formats. It's actually one of the strengths of our program. So some of our courses are what they call asynchronous. That means you don't need to log in at a specific day or time.
There's right.
Planned activities for the week. You log in, you do those at a time that's convenient for you. There are still, deadlines and tests and all of those types of things, but they're kind of maximizes your flexibility in your schedule. We've got a number of classrooms now that are set up for us to be able to do what we call dual delivery. So that means there's a class meeting at the seminary here in Detroit, and then you're going to be able to virtually attend that class using video conferencing. You're going to be able to ask questions of other students and that professor in a live format and be able to tap in that way. And then we have some courses which are a little bit of a hybrid of both. There's some video conferencing as well as some asynchronous, you log in when it's good for you type of material. And our goal is really that the students have the full Sacred Heart experience. That this isn't just a nameless university that's, just pumping out content, but really that they have a number of different formats to interact so that they really get what we really see as all our hallmark as a seminary. It's not just information, it's formation, right? And it's really that formation is built in the community of learning that we have at Sacred Heart and all those great professors that you talked about mm-hmm. and all the great other students that we have. You have that opportunity for interaction. So we're really excited about the different formats that people can take advantage of.
So in terms of the new evangelization, obviously when we refer to that, we're talking about that beautiful phrase from the teachings of John Paul II and others. But I'm just curious, what are you covering in that course? Can you kind of dive into that a little bit for us, John?
Oh, I'm sorry, Teresa, you were breaking up there a little bit.
Okay, I was just wondering if you can give us more detail on the certificate and what is covered in the course for the new evangelization.
Right, so the postgraduate certificate in the new evangelization really focuses on both the biblical and scriptural roots of, again, John Paul II's vision for this new evangelization, but also really equipping those who are going to be leaders in the new evangelization, not only in the scriptures, not only in the theological magisterial teaching around evangelization and pastoral theology, but also one of the credits of the program is we look at evangelization from a sociological perspective as well. We look at this in terms of how it is that we administer the sacrament. So it's really not just a study in the concept of the new evangelization, but really a study in the application of the new evangelization. I think also, too, Dr. Martin has a great course in that program called Evangelization and Spirituality. It really reminds us that, you know, evangelization is not just a, you know, best practices, this is how you respond in this type of conversation, tips and tricks methods, so to speak. But it really is, evangelization comes out of the heart of our own growth in prayer and what the Lord is doing, and that the Holy Spirit really is the primary agent in evangelization, as Pope Paul VI said. So what's great about that course is it really takes the richness of our spiritual tradition as Catholics and then really helps us to understand how that drives us as evangelists and how to share that as evangelists. So it's a great comprehensive
Oops, are you there? Area. There you are. Okay, you broke up for a second. Yeah, I know that you've worked for a long time, as you mentioned earlier, John. And by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning as we wrap up the program, we have about 3 minutes left talking with John Lajeunesse, stepping into the role of Director of Admissions recently in Enrollment Management for Sacred Heart. For all the information we're discussing, and if you just want more information about the great work at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, go to shms.edu. And, of course, we'll have the link at the Ave Maria Radio Archives at avemariaradio.net. There's so much going on at Sacred Heart. You're addressing a lot of the issues that we're facing. This issue of evangelization, I want to get back to this for a bit. It's so badly needed right now because we're talking about people in the pews who don't, going back to that study that we mentioned, who don't even know who Jesus is.
Yeah, I think the pressing need that all of us have is the need to look at the people in our lives, look at the people that are around us, and really understand how it is that we can witness the gospel, both in our words and in our actions.
Right.
And really what that calls all of us to do is really take that next step to dive deeper into our own conversion experience and our own understanding of our own faith so that we can really be that witness. That's really the idea that of, you know, that one pastor saying, I need 1,200, is that if every one of us really takes that next step, if we let the Lord lead us on that next step in our own formation, then he's going to show us the opportunities. I think a lot of times, you know, I've talked to so many parents who are wondering, how do I get my kids back to church? And how do I, you know, how do I have an impact in all with all of these folks who don't see the beauty of our faith and of the truth? And I think one of the first steps for all of us is really to discern, where is the Lord calling us to be faithful to that call? And then he's going to put those people in our lives. We're not going to have to manufacture those conversations. Really, the first step is really equipping our own heart. And that really takes prayer. That really takes discernment. And it really takes formation. I would say one of the key steps in my own growth as an evangelist and even in working in parishes was to make sure that there's never a point at which I stop growing.
Right.
Stop growing spiritually, stop growing intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's out there and they're feeling that call that the Lord's really putting something on their heart to take that next step, we'd love to help them take that step. Again, the number, if you have any questions about our programs, is 313-883-8696. Or you can email us at admissions@shms.edu, or again, our website is shms.edu.
Great, Sean. Great job for PR. They trained you well, whoever trained you, but of course you're really good at this. John Lajeunesse with Sacred Heart Major Seminary, of course, talking about a beautiful program, several being offered now in theology and also the new evangelization. Check it out. All the info that we've been discussing, shms.edu, standing for, of course, Sacred Heart Major Seminary. We'll be right back on a Thursday to let you know what's coming up on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
When you see the world with Catholic eyes, you see God's hand at work in human history. You see the true, the good, and the beautiful. With a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville, you see the world as it truly is. This online program helps you see art, literature, theology, psychology, and more as occasions for grace. Find out more about the Master's in Catholic Studies at franciscan.edu/mcs. That's franciscan.edu/mcs.
Thanks so much for tuning in to a Thursday morning edition of this program, Catholic Connection, co-produced, of course, by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Speaking of EWTN, Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, checking in on a Friday, as he always does, with the good news of what's coming up in our programming. And for Fact Check Friday, what the media don't know can hurt all of us. We'll take a look at a very interesting story regarding in utero surgery and how much the media didn't even realize it existed. That plus you tomorrow. Ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.